We're going to dive into this series, this family value series that we talked about weeks before. That first week we talked about the order of our marriages, the order of relationship, that God can only sit in the number one seat. Even if you're married, if you're not married, then it should be no argument whatsoever. But God can only sit in that number one seat. Last week we talked about, again, in marriage, I asked you what your fight plan was. And I don't know about you, and I couldn't even tell you what it was about. I'm sure my wife can remind me, but as soon as we had that series, like that sermon, Monday morning, like, rah. Anybody else had to put your fight plan to the test this week? But fight plan means simply this: you know how you're going, you plan out what's okay, because the Bible doesn't say you can't get angry. The Bible doesn't say you're not going to fight, but it gives us guidance on how to do that. And I believe that's a big part of issues we have in marriage that could not be an issue. I mean, we've been building the series around this verse, hanging our hat on Deuteronomy chapter 11. The Bible says, fix these words of mine on your hearts and your minds, and tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. That's where our values should come from. That's how we should learn to fight. That's how our marriages should organize themselves. That's how relationships should organize themselves around what the Bible tells us. Today, you ready? Anybody got steel toe boots on today? Otherwise, you're going to be good, because I might step on some toes today. And I normally would ask, but I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to give it to you this morning. We're going to talk about something I think most Christians and most parents think we got a pretty good handle on. And sometimes I think we don't. We don't realize what the Bible says. And we're going to talk this morning about discipline, and specifically disciplining children. Now, if you're past that time in your life, you still encounter children. If you don't have kids, you might one day. If you thank God that you don't have kids, you still are going to encounter my kids and your other people's kids. So there's something for everybody to learn here. You see, the truth is, everything in the world today fights against discipline. Everything. They tell us as adults, you're not accountable to anybody. There is no authority. Nobody can tell you what to do. As kids, they tell you, now you can divorce your parents. You don't have to listen to them. That not even teachers or any other authority in life can tell you what to do as a child, no matter what age. It's wrong. They even tell you that it's just wrong. Like, don't discipline your children. Just be their friend. It's just important that you be your child's friend. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having that part of your relationship. But the Bible is very clear, and the Bible says the wisest man that ever lived was King Solomon in Proverbs, and he writes this in Proverbs chapter 3. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he loves. See, there's correction coming there. Proverbs 3, I'm going to read this out of the Message version. I just love the same verse, just the Message paraphrase. It says, but don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. Anybody pout when you got corrected? Anybody still pout today when you get corrected? I do. Melanie knows it. I'll admit to it. She tells me, I whatever. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Man, put your lip out. The Bible says, don't sulk under his loving correction. But look what it goes on to say. It's the child he loves that he corrects. And a father's delight is what's motivating this. So that's my question this morning, is it's what's motivating the discipline or lack of discipline that you have with your kids, some cases your grandkids. And I would never say, never in a million years, maybe you picked a great day to be on the front row, that I have, or Melanie and I have discipline all worked out, that we've figured it out. But I do think most of us fail and we miss the mark because we don't have God's wisdom. We don't look for, or we don't ask for, God's wisdom on how to raise our kids, how to do what the Bible says. The only thing we think of in discipline, especially if you, I know we have you guys who are Northerners relocated down here, but the South's got a different view on discipline, right? When you think discipline, we think of spanking, whipped, whooped, or as in my mom and my grandmother's favorite one, I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail. Who says that? Parents today, who said, come on now. See, we need to bring that one back. My mom used to send me out back to get the switch. And then she'd wear me out. And then dad would come home and he would be upset because I had mom upset. And then he'd wear me out. And they jerked a knot and then they'd peel it up and then they'd jerk it back out again. That's the era that I was raised in. But see, a lot of us will quote one verse in the Bible, and it's the summation of all God says about how to raise kids. And it's not really true. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24 that whoever spoils the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is, and I highlighted this for you, say this word with me, is careful to discipline. Careful tells us that there's thought about it. I'm bad about this. Even last night, I was dealing with Emma, and I went from zero to just fed up like this fast. And I would say, Melanie said, hey, think before you speak or before you act. I was like dad with the spoon on, like, here I come, girl, you better get ready. But see, the Bible says that it's careful discipline to them. In the house we used to live in, we had the red bathroom. And I never really figured out why Melanie just started, that's the place where discipline happened. It's because it took some time to walk there, I think. It took some time that we had to be careful on the way there. We gave you a second to think through what was about to happen, how you were going to discipline them. You see, from here, though, we divide into camps. Spanking, no spanking. Somebody asked me not too long ago, what's your opinion on corporal punishment? And I was born in the South, and corporal punishment to me is like the death penalty on death row. And I was like, well, that sounds kind of harsh if you're talking about your kids. And then he said, no, what do you think about spanking? Oh, well, do you believe in it? Well, I have to. I was whipped from day one. But see, the problem is spanking's never done, should be never done in anger. And it's always followed with love. But here's the truth of the matter. That is misspelled. I just don't even show that or fix it. Spanking is not discipline if it's your only approach. If that's your only approach, and I'll tell you, Melanie brought me out of that camp. My answer was like, you messed up? Okay. You know, anybody grow up where like your mess ups when you screwed up, it was like ranked on the chart. Like if you just, you know, were rude to your brother, that's just one lick. But like you lied to mom and daddy, that's like 10 licks. That's not discipline. If spanking is your only discipline. Now I say that as somebody who, my house, we spanked. Our girls knew, even at our other house. If we said red potty, and when Mabel was little, it used to terrify her. When she was 6, 7, 8, she's smarter than your average bear, so she had already figured out, if they tell me to go to the red potty, what's coming ain't going to be pleasant. But if that's your only way of addressing it, then you're missing something. Because pain is part of process. Even in our own lives, how many of you have been through something, and maybe you're going through something now, but when you come out on the other end, God used it to teach you something. God used it to help you. It's part of the process, even in our own lives. So this morning, real quick, I'm going to give you some encouragement. Because I think it's important for us to demonstrate discipline. And one of the things it does, excuse me, is when you discipline your kids and do it like the Bible says, it demonstrates love. Well, think that doesn't make any difference. I dare say if we brought Mabel up, Master, right now, hey, when mama or daddy was spanking you with a spoon, a wooden spoon, did you feel loved? Probably going to say no. When I was a teenager and my mom was chasing me around the room, I mean as a teenager, and I was a good-sized kid, and she's like, you know, 98 pounds soaking wet, and she was wearing me out, I didn't feel loved. And from that, we say, well, no, that's not what's happening. See, the Bible tells us different. Again, in Proverbs 3:12, for the Lord corrects those he loves. Hebrews tells us it's the child that he loves, he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. See, there you see what I think is a demonstration of a swat on the hiney and then followed by love. Like, I love you, and that's why I'm doing this. Because your mistake now of disobeying me when you're 20 might have different consequences. Discipline demonstrates love. Jesus even says this. This is in the book of Revelation. He says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. All of us in the room at some point, whether you've heard it and paid attention to it or not, you've heard God say to you, probably shouldn't have done that. You've heard the Holy Spirit in you say, no, not a good idea. You've had that correction. But for some of us, we need to learn this. Showing your kids love is not getting them everything they want. Amen, Clint. That was awesome. Say that again. Okay, I will. Getting your kids everything they want is not discipline. Thank you. And here's another one for you. Ready? This is a good amen. No is not a dirty word. God told people no. And if he can tell people no, you can tell people no. Now, I get it. I get the wanting to, I mean, there was everything within me that I want to get some things for my kids and I want to do for my kids. And Melanie said, wait, let's hold back a little bit yet. Because I want to bless them, but no has become this dirty word. It's something you can't tell them no. They deserve it. I was raised in the house like, what you deserve is to eat, sleep, and breathe. Anything else, you're blessed. Right? And I'm not saying that to down, or I mean, if you have the means, by all means. The Bible says it's good for a father to bless their kids, for kids to be blessed. But no is not a dirty word. You discipline them. And here's a great reason. Not just to beat it out of them, but because you have hope and belief in them. Again, one of my spanking Mabel or Emma, and they get spanking. They're not going, oh, thank you, Daddy, for believing in me. And I thank you, you have hope. Emma, you'd be chasing her around the room. She's screaming at you, and you're screaming back. See, we need to understand that even I'll give you my... I truly hope that value, wisdom, knowledge, and all that from God is what they follow. And I believe they can. And they can do it. And they can do, Mabel can do everything that God's planned for her to do. But you play a part in that. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:18, this is the first part of it. It says, discipline your children, for that there is. So for all you math majors, if we take away the discipline, 1 + 1 is no longer 2. Now it's nothing plus 1. Now we're pulling hope out. The Bible is literally telling us that your discipline in complete form brings hope. Look at the second part. It says in 18b, do not be a willing party to their death. Nobody would ever in this room think that or say that. But the Bible says without hope, there's only one other thing. The New Living Translation tells us the same verse and says, otherwise, you are going to ruin their lives. Notice it doesn't say they're going to ruin their lives. It says you're going to ruin their lives. I think we have a lot cross-culturally, and this is not a white thing, a black thing, but I think across the country, we have a lot of lives and people that are ending up in jail, people that are ending up with just terrible places in life, and they've made bad decisions, but the reason they got there is because somebody's mom and daddy didn't give them discipline and didn't put in them hope. I'm doing this because I have hope. I'm making you get up and do this or do this chore or I'm taking this away from you because I know you're better than your last decision. Yet a lot of us live live this way. We don't have hope and belief for our kids because they're only as good as their last decision. Well, if they screwed up their last decision, then what's going to come ahead? In our minds, nothing good. Discipline, we discipline because I have hope and belief in my kids that they can do what God's asked them to do. We discipline because it is giving wisdom. Anybody, let me ask it this way, because if you got kids in the room, it'll be good for them. Anybody remember as a teenager thinking you knew everything? Y'all are lying. Where's all the hands? Anybody in college think I'm here? Or even if you didn't go to college, once you left high school, you thought, I got this down. I got life figured out. Well, let me tell you something, and I put myself in this category. We were wrong. All of us. You don't know everything. Even the smart people in the room. Smartest person I know is my wife, and I can proudly say she doesn't know everything. She knows more than me, but she doesn't know everything. And see, we raise our kids expecting them to know, but we never tell them. I remember, I've said this story 1,000 times before, so if you've been around a while, forgive me. But my grandfather was an electrician. And the way he let me learn what not to do, well, is by not doing it correctly, which resulted in my electrocution. Well, you figure it out real quick. Don't stick the knife in the outlet because it's going to what? It's going to hurt. He gave me the wisdom. Now, I wouldn't suggest that. I'm not saying we send your kids, your toddlers home. Y'all go home and stick it in the outlet and see what happens. But he gave me wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, again, King Solomon says, to discipline a child produces wisdom. But a mother is disgraced by a child who lacks it. You see, it's not necessarily the kid's decision making, but it's how they make decisions with what wisdom they have. Because wisdom influences that. It's great to impart and teach wisdom, but kids, there are moments in your kids' lives that they're going to be unaware that they need you in that moment more than ever before. They are going to find themselves in a spot where the only thing that's going to help them is you stepping in and giving them wisdom. And that might be discipline. You might get that phone call from one of our fine Sylvania PD officers or our fine deputies. Hey, I got, Billy Bob here, and here's what happened. They may not realize that they need you. They don't know everything. So we discipline because the Bible says it gives us wisdom. Here's one you have to be walking out to do it. If not, your kids will quickly call you a hypocrite. Because the Bible says, and let me give you this same verse in the message I just gave you. It says, young people are prone to foolishness and fads. The cure comes through tough-minded discipline. In other words, stuff we have thought out. But the way you can discipline them is to show them discipline is because we want them on the right path. The Bible talks about the path. The right way is narrow. If you're not on it, then don't be the hypocrite to your kids. From young age, especially in generations now in 18, 19, they look at us and they say, well, you're not doing it. Why should I do it? Remember, I said this from week one. Stay-at-home parents don't raise go-to-church kids. So don't tell them, well, you need to be in church, you need to be living right, you need to be doing right. Because the Bible tells us clearly. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 that you direct your kids onto the right path. Now, some of us, you may have kids that stumbled across it themselves. They stumbled, they met Jesus and met God, and they're following him. But the Bible puts the onus on us as parents. Again, because stay-at-home parents don't raise go-to-church kids. They're going to do what you teach them to do, whether you intentionally teach them to do or you demonstrate something else. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're either watching online or here today. But when it really matters is when the kids see us trying to make a decision between God and something else. You teach them how to make that decision before they ever face the situation of having to make that decision. The Bible tells us, Jesus actually says, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Show them right because you're following it. Now, real quick, I'm going to give you four things to help you on how to discipline kids. It might not be what you think, but internalize it and it'll help you. Because you certainly don't want to be the hypocrite. And that's why you need to commit yourself to instruction. Before we ever start trying to worry about teaching the kids, do you know the answer? I don't know about you, but I will honestly say, and I know it drives Melanie nuts, I've all but, thank God, Mabel can do it. She's good, math on her own. But the new school math, like, what? Like, when did 2 plus 2 stop equaling 4? And it has to be 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus how you feel today equals 4. Like, what is this? But see, the Bible tells us that we commit yourself to instruction, then I truly believe that flows down to the kids. I've said this before in my own life. As a young man who played sports all through high school, all year round, I was always on a ball field somewhere. My parents had me in church every Sunday morning. Sometimes dragging me by my ear. Sometimes after, 3 hours of practice. And I resented it somewhat then. Again, when discipline's happening, I'm not thinking they love me. Now I look back and think, thank God they taught me. I know they love me, but I'm glad they taught me. Because a lot of us love our kids, but we're not teaching them anything. Or we're teaching them what not to do by showing them. Because again, when you commit to instruction, you're saying, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in service. I'm going to have them in service. I'm going to have them in kids' church and nursery. That in our nursery right now, they're learning a Bible verse. They're not just being watched after, but there's no doubt in my mind we could go over there and pluck one of your kids out and say, what did you learn from the Bible today? Or what did Jesus say? And they'll be able to tell you something. Parents, ask your kids today. I challenge you. Because this is true. Again, from week one, church optional families raise Jesus optional kids. If you give them another option, they're going to take it, right? Now, truthfully, and I do this, how many of you negotiate with your kids? Y'all are lying. Where are you? How many of you had kids you've negotiated with? We do. If you'll just do this. And then we offer them something good. Or we even offer them levels of punishment. If you do this, I'll only spank you once. I know I said 3, but I'm only going to give you 1. Or if you don't do this, I don't know. Whatever it may be, we negotiate with our kids. And we give them options. And when you give your family as a whole an option other than Jesus, the devil's going to make darn sure that's what they're focused on. And we look back thinking, well, that's what my problem was. I never offered them even the option. Sometimes you don't give them an option. Sometimes you tell them the way it's going to be so that when the time comes that they have the decision to make, they're going to go the right way. Proverbs 23 says, commit yourself to instruction. Listen carefully to words of knowledge. I love the way this verse is. In Proverbs 15, this will be out of the message. It says, an undisciplined, self-willed life is just puny. But an obedient life, a God-willed life, is spacious. That the fear of God is a school of skilled living. But first you learn humility, and then you get to experience the good stuff. See, that's not what life, and that's not what the world teaches us today. The world teaches us that you're born, pop out, you deserve all the good stuff. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says first you got to earn it. First, you may have a little discipline. I can remember in high school, we had I think I saw this guy on Facebook the other day. It was one of my high school coaches. I'll never forget him, Coach Stubbs. If you're watching Coach Stubbs, you changed my life. I remember I played defensive back, and he was our specialties coach. And He said one day, he goes, I think you need more discipline. I was like, well, and he was just talking to me. And I didn't know really where he was going with this. And I was like, oh, yeah, coach, I'm sure we all need more discipline. He said, so you think all of y'all, it's like six of us standing there. Yeah, we all need more discipline in our lives. He said, good. He said, get down on your hands and knees. I was like, I had a clue then it was about to go south. And he said, we're on the goal line. Yes, sir, we are. I want you to crawl to the other goal line. You do what? He said, you need discipline, and we're going to show you discipline. I want you to crawl. And the other five guys look at me like, look what you did. And it was four or five times, like 400 yards. The team's gone. It's dark outside. He said, do you feel disciplined? We were like, oh, yes, sir. I'm disciplined. I got all discipline in the world. But he made a point. We said we wanted discipline, but all we wanted him is just to leave us alone. See, a lot of us need the discipline, and we won't commit to instruction. And his way of instructing us was to start crawling. And we figured it out then. You see, the next one also is a mind shift to us. That discipline, let me tell you this, and this is coming from somebody who fits this category. Discipline is not just beat it out of them. Somebody nod. Y'all get it? Anybody ever been in that position? You're misbehaving. We're going to fix this now. When we come out of here, it's going to be beat out of you. At times, I think that was my mom and dad's approach. But that's not the point of discipline. And the next thing you can do with your kids, so when you have the opportunity, even if it's small, celebrate the wins. Celebrate the good stuff. Sometimes it might be, good job, son. You got up today and you put your shoes on. Way to go. But celebrate something. Celebrate the good stuff. Just as much about celebrating the good stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 that the father of a righteous child, in other words, the father of a child who's been disciplined and is living right, has what? Has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. See, celebrate what's good. And I know some of you think, oh, I'm going to have to look awful hard for that. You don't know my children. I guarantee you there's something in there. Celebrate what's good. You know, there's a thought in parenting, and I mentioned it earlier, that we're just friends. Well, somebody told me this one time, what's your parenting theology? What's your methodology? And this couple's response was, I want to be their friend so they'll listen to me. Bad idea. Bad idea. You are a parent first. I'm not telling you can't be friends with your kids, but you're a parent first. And as quick as they hate a friend, if you're their friend, guess who's next in line? You're a parent first. It separates. They will hate you is what even what the world tells us. You can't discipline them. They're going to hate you. You got to be their friend. They're going to just let them discover life for themselves. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible is clear that instruction and discipline in God's way will do something. It will draw their hearts not only to you, but to God. Because discipline is about turning hearts. Discipline is about, the Bible says in Malachi, that my word, my preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to the Father. Because most of the time when we're dealing with kids who are misbehaving or going the wrong way, when you really get right down to it, it's a heart issue. There's just something not right there. There's something that they haven't gotten a hold of. Maybe even them learning about God. David writes this, King David in Psalms in 119. He says, God, turn my heart towards your statutes and not toward me. Again, without raising your hand because your kids might be with you. Anybody see that selfishness in their kids? Like, it's about me. Mom and Dad, look at me, look at me. And David says, no, God, I want their hearts turned towards you. I want their mind towards you. And I want to leave you with this, and then ushers, you guys can go ahead and do your thing. I want to remind you, hey, don't lose sight of the big picture. This is not about getting, I wish it were. This is not about getting your kids to come to church and not embarrass you. It's not about you taking your kids into Cholito's after service and they don't embarrass you. This is not about, as much as it's a good thing when it happens, it's not about you being just proud because they're the top of the class or the best in the world. As parents, let me take that back. As Christians, the Bible says that we're all to be what? To be disciples. And the first people at the top of your list better be your children for you to disciple. So when you discipline them, I'm encouraging with this. Never forget the eternal picture. You're looking at them as they're just misbehaving in class and they're keep getting written up in school and they get sent to ISS and they're talking back. That's all needs to be corrected. But if your discipline is not thought through for you to understand that they're an eternal being, that Mabel has an eternal part of her that I want more than anything, something for her. The Bible says, don't be afraid to correct your young ones. I love the way the Message says this. Don't be afraid to correct your young ones. Spanking ain't going to kill them. Some of y'all, there's some kids running around town that need to learn this. A good spanking, in fact, might save them from something worse than death. What's worse than death, you may ask? Complete and total separation eternally from God is worse than death. The Bible says of sin that it brings us death. Hebrews chapter 12 says discipline isn't much fun when it's happening. It always feels like going against the grain. But later, pays off big time. For it's the well-trained that find themselves, get this, mature, disciplined, and in a relationship with God. Don't miss the big picture. Again, it's not always fun because I certainly want my kids to know God. I want them to be wise. I want them to make good decisions. I want them to be healthy. I want them to be blessed. But more than all of that, I want eternity with God for them. If that's your starting point is discipline, then you can begin to fit the rest all inside it. But it's a deep thing. It's a big pill to swallow when you realize there's something worse than being undisciplined. It's complete separation from God. And that's not what we want. And I'm afraid if, as a generation, we don't begin to turn kids back toward God, that we're going to have a whole lot of people in heaven looking for kids that may not be there because we gave them other options because we didn't want to discipline. I want to be your friend, not your parent. I guarantee you at some point they're going to thank you for being a parent and not just being a buddy. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you will? God, I just take just a second now. And God, for those who have kids who may be in the room and say, well, I'm not even sure that I know you. I've never received Jesus. We never close the service without offering people a chance to meet Jesus. And the Bible says it's simple as believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again, and he paid the price that I couldn't pay. Right where you sit, I'm not going to call you the front, but right where you sit, you can experience that right now. If you make that prayer, if you have that conversation with God, then grab a Connect card, check it, scan it out in the foyer, the QR code, and let us know. We want to send you what's next. Before we go, though, it's not coincidence. I think God orchestrates things. We're going to sing a song. that says, it's called Who Am I? Who am I that God would show up for me? Well, you are a child of God. And the Bible says that God's given you all the rights and privileges as that. So for you and your earthly children, my prayer today is that if changes need to be made, that we change them. I want your kids to make you proud. I want your kids to be blessed. But more than anything, I want them in eternity with me and you with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you give all the parents in the room, whether they're biological parents, Father, adoptive parents, grandparents, those who are influencing the next generation. God, give us wisdom to discipline them with love and kindness, that we're well thought out, Father, that we can see a generation turn and change and come back to you just because we listen to your instruction. And I thank you, God. I call those kids who are away from you home. I call those kids who are fighting against you to be at peace with you and come home and follow you and learn of you and listen to you, Father. I thank you to use us as parents to speak to them and demonstrate that wisdom. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,